Welcome to the Akashic Reading Podcast, presented by AkashicReading.com, the place where you can learn to access your soul's wisdom, or at least stop digging the hole any deeper. I'm your host, Terry Uktana, and today we'll be looking at the actual crossing over process. What steps happen from the time the soul releases from this embodied form to when it's ready to choose whether or not it wants to head back here again? We like to think of the soul's release as a natural process. We come into the world through childbirth, and we breathe out our last and travel back into the Akashics in an organic process where the only sharp edges and hiccups are caused by the embodied world, the dream which we all agree to live for brief moments in time. It's poetic, comforting, reassuring, and based on truth. However, like all good stories, it leaves out the boring, difficult, jarring, and hard-working bits. For example, not all souls choose to follow through with being born. Some stillbirths are caused by the soul's second thoughts. Some birth defects are the result of a moment of retreat which causes the body to stop the growth process at a critical moment, then continue on when the soul decides to stay. Some births are just difficult due to environmental factors instead of pre-planning, and so everyone involved gets an added layer to the tapestry of their lives. Crossing over is just as variable, in fact, more so. There are many more factors involved, more threads of the interconnected web woven into the situation. So many decisions influencing things beyond just the soul's intentions or pre-planned exit. Some souls linger and communicate with their loved ones while others are simply gone. Some souls struggle to stay here as long as possible, no matter how little quality of life remains, while others start looking to the other side long before the body gives out. Some seem to linger long after the body is gone, after even the centuries have passed and no one remains to remember them. Some people begin the crossing over process and then return again. All of which points to how flexible and fluid life is, how powerful free will, and the enormity of the undertaking for a soul to embody when the return is even more complex than the entry. In order to understand the full meaning of any specific soul's crossing, it's helpful to understand, or remember, the general crossing over process and the most common variables involved. The most basic fact of crossing over, and of life in general, is a body cannot continue to live and thrive without its soul. It can continue on for a time because the critical functions are automatic. Machines can take over responsibility for their functioning to maintain a level of health in the body, but the life force, which causes a body to be self-sustaining, is the soul. When the soul leaves, the body begins the shutting down or dying process. Each body has the dying sequence encoded, so that should the soul remain until a predetermined time, it'll begin on its own, allowing the soul to release. The body and the soul are intimately entwined, so what happens to one affects the other. Hence, the body can reflect physically what the soul is experiencing, short or long term, as well as the body's experiences directly affecting the soul, which is in part the purpose of embodied life. The soul interfaces with the body in order to experience embodied life directly, rather than viewing it from a distance or using some medium like a spacesuit in order to remain detached. Crossing over begins when the soul starts to separate from the body. This can happen in an instant, such as during a head-on collision or a fatal shooting. It can also be very slow, such as when people are in hospice care living through a gradual decline. When things happen more slowly, the first thing to release is linear time, which allows the person to begin reliving the past, reconnecting with those who are already crossed over, and begin to make sense of the events which have occurred in their life and why. It can seem to those outside the process that the person is wandering in their minds, and to a certain extent they are. But more to the point, they're returning to their non-corporeal state, accessing multiple dimensions at once, residing both here and there, partaking of both in a way which will allow them to slide gently across. When the soul has completely separated from the body, there's a pause. Some experience this as dissociation. They see themselves floating above the body, standing to the side, or being behind a pane of glass, watching a movie of themselves, which they can no longer be a part of. This pause can be short, if they're very much ready to move on, or if they're unable to hold themselves to this lower dimension while in their soul state. I should point out here, not all souls are skilled at working with a bodied life while being disembodied, just like not everyone is good at using chopsticks or playing soccer. These are learned skills. Some will be better at than others, and only a percentage of souls choose to learn them at all. Some souls can linger for quite a long time, but may choose not to. Some may wish to linger, but simply can't. And some may get confused and frustrated because they want to do one thing or the other, but they can't figure out how. This is one area where our guides are allowed by contract to intervene on our behalf. A large part of their role is to help us through this confusing time, this point where we have converted back to our true nature, but haven't remembered who we truly are. They support us in getting home again. During this phase, we sometimes perceive them as overwhelmingly loving light, as figures from mythology, or our family or religion, or as simply loving beings who make us feel loved and comforted, soothing our fears. They can point out the way home, the tunnel or bright light we're to go into, which is the means by which we shift through multi-dimensions back into the Akashics. Or they can lead us by the hand or carry us, whatever is best and most comforting for us. Some souls have no need of a guide, as they remember immediately what needs to be done, and so there's no one in evidence when they cross over into the pause, and as soon as they're free, they head home. Our guides can also help stabilize the soul long enough they stay around their family and loved ones for a time. During this transition, guides will help project messages and visitations, set things in order, and make sure the rift in the web of life is smoothed. Unfortunately, if a soul is unwilling to move on or move forward, there's little their guides can do other than encourage them. Free will is paramount, and if someone is able and determined to stay, then they will stay. Hence, some souls become stuck in a place, connected with an object or a structure. Often, it's not the entirety of the soul, which is no longer contained within a body nor within the rules of time or space or matter, but a determined portion. Some part of them remains to either be released through eventual lack of attention and will, or through the efforts of a healer or a spiritual person who knows how to help. So, after the pause, when the soul has completed its needs with this embodied life, it returns to the Akashics. Most souls will be greeted by the members of their soul group who are not currently embodied. Because soul groups often embody as families, it's not uncommon for a soul to experience this as their family come to greet them. Also, others who have been important to the soul during an embodied life and who have preceded them may choose to be part of the welcoming party as well. They gather, not only to rejoice in the return, but also to help the soul remember who they are, where they are, and to minimize the confusion and disjointedness of the process. Once a soul has a bit of time to readjust and remember, they will be gathered up by their teacher and taken into seclusion. This is when they begin a full and complex life review. A life review is not a reckoning, in the sense there will be judgment by an authority figure or some kind of accounting for failures and successes. Rather, it's somewhat like a trainee who is being put through a simulation, being guided through the records of the event while being given a full accounting of why things happened, what was the point, and the goals. The teacher will open their soul book and together they'll relive every event moment by moment, with the true meanings, goals, lessons, choices, pre-planning, coincidences, influences, and so on revealed. The thoughts, emotions, and experiences of everyone the soul interacted with will be revealed to them. The effects will be shown. the soul will return to a full telepathic and empathic understanding of everything, including the life they have just lived. They will know every joy, every sorrow, and every random act of kindness they ever gave, and know the reasons why. They will see where they excelled at their goals, where they stumbled, or if they avoided the lesson altogether. They will feel the pain they caused others, the reason why others caused them pain, and come to a full understanding as to what it all means and what they're meant to gain from it. Often, our conceptions of heaven or hell are derived from aspects of this process. This life review will be recorded in the soul book in the second section, right after the past life record. It's more concise than a full past life history and does not play like virtual reality or a 3D movie, and so is rarely accessed by people seeking past life information. During this process, approximately 5 to 9 months in linear time, the soul is not available for communication. Ironically, this is exactly when we most want and need our loved ones to be available to us. Their guides remain on duty during this time, however, to reply to our requests, to stand in their stead and respond on their behalf, to relay information to anyone who seeks it, and to send messages should the soul feel the need to do this as they process more and more about the life just achieved. It can be confusing for those who remain behind, because we are forcefully locked into notions of linear time, not remembering or even being able to fully comprehend spherical non-time, which souls exist in outside of embodied life. We forget that a communication can be sent before a request has been made, a message can be left and come through before they've left us, seeming like an omen. Or while we're trying to communicate with them, they have already opened a channel we've ignored because it seemed a random happenstance. It's not unusual for communication with a recently departed loved one to seem like garbled text messages where the pieces come through unordered. We go looking for call and response and get word or symbol or action salad. The best way to deal with this is patience, repetition of message, and remembering the answer might unfold differently than we expect, including being in parts over a significant amount of linear time. After the life review, the crossing over process is officially complete. The soul then has choices on what they wish to do next. This is another thing which is confusing for still embodied people, because the rules of matter say we can only focus on one thing at a time, notions of dual tasking notwithstanding, and can only be in one place at a time. A soul, having no form and not being constrained to even one thought, let alone one activity, can choose to go back to their regular activities in the Akashics, while at the same time keeping connected to their loved ones, as well as providing service as an additional guide or guardian angel to some, while possibly researching and preparing for the next embodied life. They can maintain the personality and aspect of themselves for communication with those still embodied, while at the same time being completely integrated with the remainder of themselves, which was left behind. It can be helpful to remember this when asking to communicate with them, as their responses will differ depending on what aspect is responding. For those who wish to communicate with loved ones who have crossed over, there are a variety of practices which can facilitate clear messaging. A skilled, practiced, and ethical medium is a great resource, since they're not only able to connect interdimensionally, so the departed soul doesn't have to, but they should also be able to translate symbolic messages into something more understandable or tease out meaning from cryptic images. They're able to bridge between here and there, so that energy, emotions, and even sense can pass between the two parties involved, and help support the continuation of the relationship. Another thing which can be done is to set up the equivalent of a spiritual cell phone. Objects have the ability to act as anchors or conduits for spiritual communication. This is why a picture of a loved one can feel so magnetic, as if the person were looking through from the other side. Items which the person loved or that represent a beloved aspect of their personality work in similar ways. Remembering time is not linear for them, we can talk to the object, hold it while we meditate or pray, or place messages under or around it in order to convey our conversation or intent. With the object in our life as a receiving device, the soul or our guides on the soul's behalf can send us message through it in response. Headstones, memorials, and statues serve the same purpose and are why, even if there's no body to inter, we desire to have something which represents the person who is gone. In this place, we can feel them or feel capable of allowing ourselves to reach out to them. In these places, we can feel like we are sitting across from them again, sense the echoing response to our feelings, and gain access to our connection through time and space. What's important to remember is crossing over is not the end of our relationship with those who have preceded us. The relationship continues because they and we continue. The means by which we are connected changes, therefore our means of relating changes. But that we relate, that we continue in relationship does not. We will meet them again when we go home, as we will wait and greet those who come home after us, until we start the cycle all over again. And that's all the time we have this week. Next time, we'll be exploring the nature of soul retrieval as a healing modality and spiritual practice. If you're interested in knowing more, check out my website, akashicreading.com. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please take a minute to show it some love on iTunes. Your comments are also appreciated. Thanks. Bye.